You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the midweek edition of the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, ahead of a full round of fixtures in the Premier League. Good to have you with us, Dave Kellner in the studio, joined as always by Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern. Every time there's Premier League football on, Derek and Tom are standing by to give their verdicts. First of all, a warm welcome to Derek McGovern. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, not bad. We were just saying off air how successful we were on the weekend picks on the FA Cup. So we hope it continues this week as well.
So rarely do we have the opportunity, Tom, to blow our own trumpets that it has to be mentioned on the podcast.
Yeah, it has to be mentioned off air and then mentioned on air that we were talking about it off air. Yeah, no, it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend. I mean, you know, I know the fallout will be about changes, you know, that a lot of teams had made, and, you know, they ended up falling short. But just ultimately, that's why there was good money to be made. I think some good teams at good prices, because ultimately, you know, teams that have bigger fish to fry tend to focus on that and not the FA Cup. And it's always interesting how, as soon as we have an FA Cup weekend, the Premier League crams some fixes in as soon as possible. Just to remind us that the Premier League is alive and kicking.
It is. The Premier League is king, and we've got some good games on Tuesday and Wednesday night. We start off with undoubtedly the feature match televised on Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Liverpool versus Chelsea at Anfield, and Liverpool are 6-4 to win the game. The draw 23-10 with Chelsea 2-1. The enhanced odds, Philip Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win, was 4-1, now 5-1. And Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win was 3-1, that's now 4-1. Chelsea, Derek, unbeaten in their last four Premier League trips to Anfield, won two of those and drawn two. Last time they lost there was back in May 2012 in the Top Flight. They did beat them back in mid-September, Liverpool, by 2-1. But that's when Chelsea were going through that bad patch. Now the boot's definitely on the other foot, Derek.
Yeah, and surely you mentioned enhanced prices there. Surely Chelsea 2-1 is an enhanced price already. I mean, that should be even money. I mean, I've been running around the front room waving my tablet in the air over this price. It's absolutely unbelievable. I can only assume the odds compilers have not seen Liverpool the last three games. I wish to God I hadn't, because they've been absolutely hopeless. There's been no flukes in those results. Home defeats to Swansea, Southampton and Wolves. I mean, that's as bad as it can get for Liverpool. Even under the dark days of Roy Hodgson, I don't think it was quite as bad as that. And they've been deserved defeats. They've been outplayed by all three. And they're playing the Chelsea side, who are just, they're flying at the moment. 2-1 Chelsea. The more I'm talking about this, the more I'm thinking, this has got to be the greatest bet of all time. I found another one of them. No wonder you guys pay me all these big bucks. Chelsea will walk all over Liverpool. Well, I'll tell you why. You know, one of the reasons Liverpool have gone off the boil, apart from tired, as people say, because they've had a number of games since Christmas, but they were flying earlier in the season because of this high-pressing style Klopp's fostered. He did it so well at Borussia Dortmund, and the first half of the season, Liverpool were doing it fantastically well. But you can't press high when the teams you're facing are camped on the edge of the box. There's no space. You get the ball, there's no space to use anything. And Chelsea are going to do the same. And the reason I say that is that they did exactly that in the televised game a few weeks ago at Southampton. They showed zero ambition. And I thought, what are Chelsea up to here? Southampton gave the ball away. Chelsea went up, scored, and never looked like conceding again after that. And that's exactly what they're going to do against Liverpool. 2-1 is an unbelievable bet. Misses at your peril.
I like it. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 4-1. Costa's scored in 15 of his last 21 Premier League matches, 16 goals in total so far. Playing devil's advocate here, Tom, Jurgen Klopp has a good record in these fixtures against the big clubs in the league. Lost just one of 14 Premier League meetings with teams in the Big Six. By Big Six, I mean Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United, Man City, Spurs and Arsenal. So he tends to set his team up well against the big clubs.
Yeah, that probably doesn't surprise me, because you look at where Liverpool's problems have been, and it's been against the games that maybe it has been a little bit more difficult for them to get up for. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Liverpool in this game, huge amounts of pressure. They're already 10 points behind Chelsea going into this fixture. If that gap gets any bigger, I mean, look, they're not going to win the title, Liverpool, for me, and this last month has proved the point. But if that gap gets any bigger, you know, there's quite a bit of discontent, you know, already brewing around Anfield. And it's only going to get worse depending on how they sort of play this game. And the problem I've got with Liverpool in this game is I don't know how they either, A, change their game plan or what their approach is actually going to be. Because if they continue to play the way that they have been doing, Chelsea will easily win the game. I'm not talking a big scoreline. I'm just saying they'll comfortably get the 3 points. And I don't know how Liverpool change it. What they're missing that Chelsea have is absolute solidity at the back and a rock-solid defence. They're missing, you know, they've got sparky players, you know, like Hazard for Chelsea, but they still don't have a somebody up front. And I know the interchange and all of that, but I still think there's no substitute for an out-and-out goal scorer, somebody who's easily going to net you 20-plus goals. Diego Costa is that man. 8 of his 15 goals have come away from home this season. I think he's a good bet to score this one. I think it's exactly the kind of game that he gets up for these big matches. And although Liverpool were sensational down at Stamford Bridge, that was a long time ago. That was that early season, you know, game. Henderson scored that screamer. This is a very different Liverpool side, so I can't disagree with Chelsea at 2-2 not being exceptional value. But Costa scoring a Chelsea win at 4-1, and just another thing that I'd probably point you, another angle in on this game is a lack of goals. I can't see there being many. I think, you know, when you look at the odds here for the goals, you know, I can understand why over 2.5 is even money, and I can understand why people might look at this fixture and think it's an explosive clash between two top sides. But you've got to look a little bit deeper here, because Liverpool aren't scoring goals now. They've scored, just 5 goals in the last 7 matches, which is an absolute famine for Liverpool, considering where they were a few months ago. And Chelsea have conceded just 6 goals in the last 12 games. So Chelsea don't concede. Liverpool aren't scoring. You want to look at Chelsea winning under 2.5 goals here at 9-2, or the under 2.5 goals at 8-11. But I'm not expecting many. Exactly like Derek said, if Chelsea score the first goal, they won't concede. They'll shut up shop, 1-0, 2-0.
Just a quick aside here as well. Sadio Mane could return for Liverpool. They've obviously missed him badly, Derek, and they've sent a private jet out there to get Sadio Mane, and he'll be in contention for a starting place. But it'd be very difficult for him to come back and immediately pick up where he left off.
Well, it will, but it just shows. I mean, I've had my doubts about Mane, but I've been made to look a nana, because since he's been gone, Liverpool have been useless, and I think he will play. I'm convinced he'll play, because he's got to do something, Klopp, and Mane gives him that option.
The other televised game this midweek is West Ham versus Manchester City. This is Wednesday night, 7:45. The Hammers are 5-1 to win the game. The draw 16-5 with Man City 4-7. Enhanced odds, Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win was 8-1. That's been enhanced to 10-1. Sergio Aguero to score and Man City to win was 6-5. That's been boosted to 6-4. Man City already got 2 wins, Tom, against West Ham this season. Aggregate scoreline of 8-1. They beat them 3-1 in the Premier League and, of course, 5-0 just a few weeks ago in the FA Cup. The Dimitri Payet saga's finally been concluded now with him moving to Marseille. I think West Ham will be happy, pretty happy anyway, to have that out of the way and just done with, Tom.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, you only have to look at the 2 results they've had and the results in general since it all kicked off with Payet. I mean, generally, they've been on a different kind of run, and that's coincided with Andy Carroll's return. You know, I think about him, and you know, whenever he's on song, people talk about what a big threat he is. But that's because he is. You know, it's not a myth with Andy Carroll. He's going to be absolutely key between now and the end of the season for West Ham if they can keep him fit. And you know, this is a West Ham side who a month ago we were talking about, you know, being in relegation trouble, being right in that scrap. They've pulled themselves well clear of that now, thanks to the results that they're getting. They're scoring goals again. I think their transfer business has been pretty good. I think they've actually got a decent deal for Payet. You know, they've recouped quite a bit of money for him. They've made a profit on him, even if you take into account his wages. They've signed Snodgrass, who is somebody I think is going to thrive at providing the balls for Andy Carroll. So generally, I think there's a good feeling about West Ham again. You know, by no means are they, you know, a brilliant team, and they're up against a side, as you said, that beat them 5-0, you know, not long ago. But Man City, just, you know, away from home and generally their form, it's too mixed for me to be back in. You know, I've got to almost take that FA Cup game out of it. People might reference that and think, well, that's a real clear indicator. It was just a few weeks ago when these two sides met, you know, on the same venue. But I'm looking at Man City's run at the moment. They've won 4-9 in the Premier League. Away from home, it's not great. When they do win away from home, they're not getting massive victories except in the FA Cup. You know, their league successes have been a little bit more narrower. And in fact, you know, defeats at Liverpool, Leicester, Everton, I can't back Man City here, and I'm completely thrown off them, despite the players. And the problem I've got with Man City is I look down their squad every single week and I think, wow, what an array of players. But ultimately, I've kind of been burnt by them this season too often. So I think the draw is probably where I'm going to head here at 16-5. West Ham are a huge, huge price here at 5-1. But I've kind of lost my way a little bit with City and just knowing exactly where they're going to be at ahead of this game. So I think the draw, or I'd probably look at West Ham, you know, given the fact that they are, you know, 5-1 to win the game, I'd look at them plus a goal at 11-8. I think it'll be tight, and West Ham will certainly give them a good game.
West Ham are 5-1 to win the match. Obviously, we mentioned Andy Carroll in the intro to this game. He's got a good record against Manchester City in the Premier League, scored 5 times against them, and he's now got 4 in his last 5 Premier League starts as well. I get a feeling, David, you'll be attracted by that 5-1 for West Ham here.
Well, I looked at this fixture and I thought it's City all day long. And then I looked at the odds and I couldn't believe them. I can't believe City is so short. I think your odds compilers are reading a lot into that FA Cup match, the 5-0 win. And the reason they're reading a lot into it is not so much the game itself as what was said afterwards. Guardiola and a few of the Man City players were saying the reason they won so well that day was because the stadium, the London stadium, the ground played right into their hands. It was like playing in a European stadium rather than, you know, a Premier League contest with all the home fans and right down in next. And they really did enjoy the freedom. And I actually made a mental note of that. I thought, great, I can't wait for City to go back there. I'll be lumping on. Well, I can't. I'm 4-7. It is too short. But nor will I be lumping on Andy Carroll to score a goal either. You know my thoughts about him. I christened him the bovine ponytail a few years ago at the Mirror. I'm really cheesed off that no one pinched that line because he was such a genius, but I'll bring it out again. He's not a footballer for me, a bovine ponytail. He's just, you know, I think it's disgraceful that this guy can make a highly rewarded living, Premier League footballer, an England footballer, on a basis that he's 6'4" and can jump for the ball. Surely there's got to be more than that, hasn't there, in the Premier League? I mean, what is he? On the ground, the guy's a pudding. He can't run. Slow as a snail. I just do not see it. And if he's the only threat West Ham have got, well, City will win. But you can't trust City at 4-7. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, though. I'm going to back Raheem Sterling to score at any time at 19-10, 2-1, because he's playing a lot more forward for City than people seem to realise. On some occasions, he's the furthest man forward, even more so than Aguero. And all of a sudden, he looks a proper finisher. He never did during his Liverpool days, but he's looking an accomplished finisher now. And I think that's a big price. I think City will win, but I can't risk a red cent on them at that price. I can't trust Hammers because if they're relying on Carroll, well, you know my thoughts there. So I'm just going to go play safe here, Sterling to score at any time.
Sterling to score any time, 19-10. Marouane Fellaini's done all right, Derek. I think that's his MO, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Again, yeah, I know, but... You know, it's Sunday league tactics, aren't they? You know, throw on a big man and lump her up to him. And these are coaches that we're supposed to, you know, believe, you know everything there is to know about football, every tactic. And they basically, you know, follow the Joe Bloggs route on you know, for the red line every Sunday. It's just, it honestly makes my heart sink.
Let's move on to the non-televised games this midweek then, chaps. And we'll start with Burnley versus Leicester at Turf Moor. Burnley are 19-10, the draw 11-5 with Leicester 8-5. Enhanced odds, Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win in 90 minutes was 18-5, now 5-1. And Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 100-30. That's been enhanced to 4-1. David, we've still got the wrong prices here, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah. Well, these two teams have won the fewest away points this season. You know, no one's won fewer than them in the whole of the Premier League. So it's good news for Burnley that they're at home, and bad news for Leicester that they're away. I mean, it just looks like a nailed-on win for Burnley, doesn't it? You know, the teams they've beaten at home this season, incredible. And Leicester don't beat anybody away from home. I've given Leicester so many chances this season. They've cost me more money than anybody this season, Leicester. And I haven't got any left now to back them with. I've got to go for Burnley. I don't know what it is with your comparison. I mean, I can sense with your opening question there, Dave, but you can't believe it either.
No, I'm really surprised at the way this has been priced, just because it's not as if Leicester, Derek, are improving here. They've lost back-to-back games 3-0 in the Premier League. Were leaky against Derby in the FA Cup at the weekend. And Burnley, they've got a higher proportion of their all-time Premier League points in home matches than any other team. They've taken 70 of 89 points at Turf Moor, which is just a scintillating home form, really. And there doesn't appear to be any reason not to back them at just under 2-1.
No. In fact, what I would say, if you're going to back Leicester, wait. And if they go ahead, lump on them to win it, because a couple of stats are, I'm not the biggest fan of stats, but I love these. Leicester have won all 5 Premier League games that they've been leading in this season.
Right.
In other words, if they go ahead, they win. And Burnley are the only team yet to win a point from a losing position. So if they fall behind, they lose. You know, so if Leicester go ahead, what price would they be then? It'd probably be, 8-11.
Yeah, a bit shorter than that, yeah. Yeah, I think we're recording this on Monday afternoon, chaps. I think by the time we get to Tuesday night, I wouldn't be surprised if the prices are the other way around here. I think Burnley will be very well supported. Tom, it's tough to make a case to bat Leicester at 8-5 here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much impossible. I mean, I don't know on what basis you'd make that. You've got a team that have not won away from home yet in the league versus a team that at home have only been beaten by very, very good sides, and even they were controversial. So but Burnley are kind of booking a bit of a trend here. I mean, even people I know that aren't that into football, you know, they kind of follow it a bit more casually. You know, they know that, you know, they might have an accumulator on a Saturday. They know that when Burnley are at home, they're a sure bet. I mean, everybody, it's not even a secret. And it's amazing that Burnley are doing that because, you know, that kind of trend of teams, you know, home form versus away form, you know, it's kind of a little bit mixed. A lot of teams, home and away forms, kind of mirror each other. But Burnley have completely changed that around. And I don't really know the reason why, other than the fact that Burnley generally, this isn't just this season, this is for years now under Sean Dyche, have been exceptional at home. And I do think the environment that it creates, and I do think the what the away team kind of have to deal with there, having been around sort of that tunnel area, Turf Moor, you know, it's just not a comfortable place to be. And I think, you know, I watched Leicester on Friday night against Derby, and there's still just something not right about this Leicester side. Some of them are going through the motions. Ranieri's definitely back to the tinker man. He has no idea really what his strongest team is. People keep saying, oh, they'll go back to what they did last year. Well, they haven't really done it yet. They don't look like they're going to do it, and Burnley aren't going to give them the space to do it. Burnley will win the game, but I would play some goals here. You know, I was looking at Burnley and the goals that have been flying in at Turf Moor, and there's quite a few. I mean, you know, they've tightened up a little bit of late, but the home games generally have been high scoring. You know, Palace 3-2, lost to Man City 2-1. There's 3-2 and 4-1 victories over Bournemouth and Sunderland. So I would play some goals here. I think that the Burnley price is great as it is, but I think there'll be goals in this. I think Leicester can definitely score. You know, they've still got good threats. And Burnley aren't the tightest defensively at home. So I think Andre Gray is a good bet any time at 7-4 because he's in form. But I quite like Burnley and over 2.5 goals there at 15-4. And likewise, you can take Burnley and both teams to score as well at 5-1.
On to Swansea versus Southampton next at the Liberty. Swansea 11-5, the draw 11-5, Southampton 7-5. Enhanced odds, Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 9-2. Now 6-1, and J. Rodriguez to score and Southampton to win was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 4-1. Each of the last 3 Premier League meetings between these two sides at the Liberty have ended 1-0 to Southampton. If you think that trend is going to continue, that's available at 13-2 here with William Hill. But it's been a good start for Paul Clement at Swansea. He's won 2 of his 3 Premier League games in charge, and that's equaled Bob Bradley's win tally, and he was there for just 10 games at Swansea. 11-5 Swansea to win this game. Tom, how do you see it?
Well, you know, I look at Southampton and generally they're a team that I want to be siding with this season. More often than not, I've looked at them and thought defensively they're very solid. They're one of the few teams in the Premier League where I look at them defensively, it doesn't matter who plays, and I think, yeah, you know, they're going to keep the scoreline down. They're used to keeping clean sheets. They've got a giant of a goalkeeper, and probably somebody will be a target for a top-4 club at some point in Fraser Foster. Generally, I like Southampton, but the problem has been that the goals that they've had. And, of course, now they're coming up against this resurgent sort of Swansea side. So I think it's a bit of a difficult one, this one. You know, Swansea haven't been great at home. You know, we can go through all kinds of facts and figures for them on home. So they've won just two matches. Likewise, Southampton have won just 2 away games. So you can't really read a huge amount into that. The problem you've got when you're looking at the prices here is the fact that Swansea are certainly buoyed by Paul Clement's arrival and that victory over Liverpool. Now, that's got to have completely changed around the mood around the camp. You know, the training ground players will be arriving with a little spring in their step. Paul Clement, by all accounts and reading some reports from down in South Wales, you know, has changed quite a lot of things with regard to training schedules, how they're approaching things. He's kind of brought a smile back to some of the players' faces. And I think they now feel that they've got a man in charge who knows what he's doing. You know, whether he's going to be a great Premier League manager or not is irrelevant. The point is he knows, having worked with some great managers at some big clubs, how to organise a side, and that's precisely what he's doing. And the games for Swansea now, you know, we're not at that stage where they're running out, but they've kind of given themselves a bit of hope now. They're out of the bottom three, and they can really push Crystal Palace in there, who've got a tough game at Bournemouth, you know, this week. So I think it's a big game for Swansea, and they've got to start getting some results at home. But I'm just a little bit in a quandary because of that victory over Liverpool. Is that enough for me to now think, yes, Swansea are onto a good thing and they're going to go win two and three games? Or was that them catching a very poor Liverpool side? I don't know. I'm looking at this one and I'm thinking a draw for starters at 11-5. So I think Southampton would probably take that. I couldn't trust Southampton to win the game because they don't win enough games away from home. So I'm going to play the draw, but I'd also have a look at goals in the second half here. Just, you know, it might be something you want to look in play, it might be something you want to back before the match. But generally, I was a bit surprised that the 14 goals that Swansea have scored at home, only three of them have come in the first half. And similarly, Southampton have conceded 15 goals away from home, and 10 of those have been in the second half. So you might want to look at however way you want to play it. There's a number of different ways, of course. But for goals to come in the second half, maybe a tight first half, and we might get a few in the second. But I think ultimately it's going to be a draw. I think it's baby steps still for Swansea.
The highest scoring half, by the way, to be the second half is 11-10 here with William Hill. You'll find that in the half markets section on the William Hill website. So Swansea versus Southampton. Tom going with a draw at 11-5. Derek?
Heading me off at the pass here. That sounds great. That 11-10 for the second half to be the highest scoring half. That screams value, that one. I mean, if this game was a fortnight ago, you'd have been all over Southampton. But a number of things have happened since then, principally Swansea's performance and results at Liverpool, and Southampton being in the EPL Cup final. You know, I suggested that in Friday's bulletin that they might take the foot off the gas in the FA Cup after that, and they did indeed. Played a few second stringers. And who's to say it won't happen in the league too? Because they ain't going anywhere. They ain't going to go up much, and they ain't going to be going down, that's for sure. And we've seen it in the past. Teams who've got to the final of the League Cup, their form in the league has fallen off a cliff. It's after you, Claude, time. So you've got to bear that in mind. So 7-5 Southampton is no bet to me. And I'll tell you one thing about Swansea. I was the one giving them hope when they were bottom of the league. I'm saying they've got a better team than you think. And I remember a couple of weeks ago before they played Arsenal, I read an article which was saying this Swansea team are going to turn a corner. They're nowhere near as bad as their league position implies. And if you look at the stats, blah, blah, blah. Now, normally, every night I read the paper, I ignore because it's written by idiots like me. But this was a persuasive argument, and I thought, I wouldn't mind that. I'll have a look at these against Arsenal. Anyway, they played great for about the first half, and in the end, they lost 4-0, but it was a much better performance. So in a way, that result against Liverpool the following week didn't come as much a surprise to me as it did to most. What I'm saying is they are a better side than their league position implies, and 11-5 to beat Southampton, I see absolutely no reason not to lump on. Apart from the fact I've got no money left. So, yeah, it's Swansea for me.
Swansea the bet at 11-5 to beat Southampton, who are 7-5. The draw, 11-5. Arsenal versus Watford next. Arsenal 1-4 to win this match. The draw, 5-1. Watford, 12-1. Enhanced odds, Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 8-5, now 2-1. Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 20-1, now 25-1. Arsenal, good record against Watford. They've won their last seven in the league against the visitors, scoring 19 goals in the process as well. And Alexis Sanchez, who's been in great form all season, he's 3-1 to score first, 3-1 to score last. He's scored in all three of his previous Premier League appearances against Watford as well. Derek, I'll make a bold statement here. This is going to be Walter Mazzarri's last game in charge of Watford.
I wouldn't, yeah. You're probably right there. It'd be interesting to see a price for that one because they're just going nowhere but down under him. The players aren't playing for him. They don't understand what he's on about. And they are shocking at the moment, Watford. Absolutely shocking. And the fact, you know, one of my golden rules of betting, you know, I've got several. This is number one in my golden rules. Is any team playing within 48 hours of their last match against a team who had a bit longer rest, as in this case, opposed them? Well, I was going to oppose Watford anyway, but that, you know, that doubly underlines it now. Mm. And it is. Stats, you know, I have mixed feelings about stats, but the guy who came up with this one should be knighted. Watford's record in their last 12 Premier League games, not to be played every weekend, is 1-0, drew 2, lost 10. In other words, midweek games on Mondays, they get battered in all of them. You know, so... I've no idea
I've no idea what to read into that. But if I needed any more ammunition to back Arsenal, you know, that was it. Arsenal are 1-4, only for the big hitters. But I cannot see Watford getting a kick in this. That said, remember, it was the Cup semi-final last season or the season before?
Yeah, they won 2. Did they win 2-1 and Odion Ighalo scored, I think.
That's right, yeah. But Watford were a lot better team in those days. The strikers were actually playing football then instead of just eating, which is what they seem to be doing at the moment. I think this is going to be an absolute cakewalk for Arsenal, I really do. I'm going to go for Arsenal -2 goals at 8-5.
Yeah, I quite fancy Arsenal -3 here at 18-5 as well. I think it could be a bloodbath for Watford. Tom, your thoughts?
Well, I think even the Watford manager's interpreter's got it in for him. You know, looking at the post-match interview at Millwall, I think even he was trying to sort of distance himself and take little shuffling steps away from him during the interview because he doesn't want to be associated with it. It's an absolute disaster at Watford. And Watford are a prime example of never really having a real ethos about them. The player turnover there over the last 4 or 5 years, well, since the Pozzo family took over, has been incredible. They've lost the core of the side that served them so well in terms of getting promoted and carrying on. And even someone like Ighalo, you know, you've given him a big contract. He's about to move on. You know, they're going to sell him to China. But, you know, as a manager, you should be getting something out of him. This is a guy who looked like a decent Premier League striker, a player who's going to score goals, had a good partnership. You're arguably, you know, Ighalo and Deeney was the best strike partnership we've seen in the Premier League for a while because there aren't many of them. So Watford are in a complete mess. They're in disarray. They're spiralling quickly. Their only victory in recent nine games has been against Burton Albion, which kind of says it all. Of course, Arsenal will win the game, but it's how they win it, really, that is probably interesting. I mean, Watford against sort of the top half teams at the moment, they've lost 8 of their 11 games against teams in the top half of the table. But what's interesting is they have managed to score in 5 of their last 6 games against the current Premier League top 6, and they've also gone over 2.5 goals their game. So, while Watford tend to be on the unders side of things, you know, Arsenal themselves, you know, there's plenty of goals happening in their games as well. I mean, 7 of their 11 home matches have been over 2.5 goals. And likewise, even many of their victories, including the victory at Watford earlier in the season, ended up being a 3-1 success. So I've got no faith in Watford, but I the only thing I wonder is whether Arsenal's defence will sort of cause a bit of panic at some stage, because that seems to be the case for them at the Emirates. So look, Arsenal and both teams to score is 2-1, but I can't look too far away from the likes of the -2 handicap, which Derek mentioned. I think that's a good bet, and I'm expecting quite a few goals.
Middlesbrough versus West Brom next at the Riverside. Middlesbrough are 17-10 to win this game. They draw 19-10 with West Brom 21-10. Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 3-1, now 4-1. And the legend, Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win, was 4-1, now 5-1. Actually, I had a tweet at the weekend, Tom, saying that just keep mentioning the king, Salomon Rondon, every single week. We enjoy it immensely. I thought, yeah, well, that's it. That, as long as one person likes me mentioning him every week, it's got to be done.
Well, I think Salomon Rondon as well. Yeah, it was. It was from the man himself, was it not? Mr. Rondon.
It might as well have been. Seven. Rondon 7, precisely.
You know, he's he's the most press he's ever going to get, isn't he? Because he's done all right. He's done okay. Look, West Brom are doing well. Look, put it this way: if the West Brom of last season were playing Middlesbrough, so stick with me on this one this week. I think we might as well just stop football and pack up and just give it up. But West Brom are a different side this year. And look, they're up against the Middlesbrough team. And we've talked enough about them already this season. They're just not going to win many matches. And I'm worried a little bit about Middlesbrough. I think Middlesbrough fans are a little bit concerned now because they're the lowest scorers in the Premier League. They're not winning many games, you know, in the league. Now, they've had a couple of cup successes, yeah, fair enough. But the defeat against West Ham would be extremely worrying for them. And I took Arenka's comments. I know he's since apologised for them. But they have not gone down well on Teesside. They've struggled in the transfer market. You know, Steve Gibson always backs his manager, but they struggled to really, you know, they were beaten off the Snodgrass and a few other players have kind of slipped away. And I don't think the additions of Rudiger Stead and Patrick Bamford are necessarily going to provide the firepower that they need. And you can't bring in a player like Stead and then suggest to the fans they're wrong in wanting the ball to be hit up to him because his biggest strength is in the air. So Middlesbrough in a spot of bother at the moment. And I like the fact that West Ham went to the Riverside and won 3-1, because I think West Brom are more than capable of doing exactly that. He's turned it around completely, Tony Pulis. He deserves a huge amount of credit for what he's done at West Brom. You know, again, there's some good deals done by the end of the transfer market. They've got rid of Berahino, and I think West Brom are a team that are on the up. Not on the up to a point that they're going to worry the top six in the Premier League, but they're not a million miles behind them. And now they've got Everton in their sights, and they're 4 points behind them. So I think there's a lot at stake for West Brom. And what I like about West Brom as well, they've had no FA Cup this weekend. So they've had a rest. They've beaten Leicester and Southampton away recently in the Premier League. And I'd put Middlesbrough as probably worse, well, definitely worse than those two sides. So I think plain and simple, we can just look at a West Brom victory. I think they're a good price and a good play at 21-10.
A goal scorer I must mention here, and it's not Salomon Rondon this time, Chris Brunt is 11-2 to score anytime, 14-1 to score first and last. He's been on an incredible run in the league. He's got 6 in his last 9 in the Premier League since the start of December, and 11-2 is a big price, and got a good record against Middlesbrough as well for West Brom. 2 goals and 1 assist in his last 3 Premier League starts against Middlesbrough. So Chris Brunt worth a look here at 11-2, I think, in the goal scorer markets. Derek, what about you here? What do you fancy?
Yeah, well, Tom's right. I mean, there's going to be a winner here. It's going to be West Brom. You oppose Borough, don't you? Because they just don't score enough goals to be worth a bet, risking your money on. Well, I know that West Brom are a changed West Brom these days, but it's not a changed manager, Tony Pulis, is it? I'm prepared to believe some of the goals, the matches they've been involved in that have been goal heavy, have been more an accident than anything else, more by accident than by design. I don't think Pulis is going to change his MO in the 8 years now. And I'm just looking, whenever West Brom play, I look unders, you know, on the goals, ditto Middlesbrough. Unfortunately, under 1.5 goals is only 13-8, when normally you'll be looking for 2-1 in a Premier League game. But still, that 13-8, that looks a great bet to me. I can't see it as being a goal fest at all. So 13-8, under 1.5 goals.
Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace next. Bournemouth 11-10 to win the game. They draw 12-5 with Palace, 11-4. Enhanced odds, Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win. Was 5-2, now 3-1. And Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Derek, Sam Allardyce now without a win in his first 5 league games in charge of Palace. That's his worst start at a club since he was at Notts County. Went 15 league games without a win back in the mid-90s. Predictable weekend performance from Crystal Palace in the Cup. Wasn't that weaker side that Allardyce put out in comparison to some of the other Premier League teams? But they were beaten 3-0 by City.
Yeah, mullered really. And those things I mentioned about Palace a couple of weeks ago, I think it's been underlined now. I mentioned that, you know, the players they've got there, they probably think they're better than they are, and they don't take kindly to a hippo-headed manager coming in and saying, right, lump it long. They think they can do better than that. This is my reading. I've got no evidence to suggest that whatsoever, other than the results they've been getting, which has been crap. I don't think Allardyce is the right man for them. To be honest, you looked at when he took over, you looked at those Palace players, and you thought, they ain't going to go down. You know, they couldn't get anybody in charge here, and they'll stay up. Well, all of a sudden, it's looking like they're going to go down. And one stat I noticed in the build-up to this game, they've averaged the lowest distance running per game this season in the Premier League, Crystal Palace. So that, for a team that's in the thick of the relegation dogfight, that's actually criminal, isn't it? I think the main major reason for that is the name Christian Benteke, because Jesus Christ, never chases a long pass and will never pass a chaise long. He makes Dimitar Berbatov look like a sweatshop worker. I just can't have Benteke. I could never have him at Liverpool, and he's gone back in the betting in my view. That said, Bournemouth are plenty short enough here, aren't they? They're a side I can never catch right, and I don't mind backing them at big prices. A quibble about backing them at these kind of odds, 11-10. I think they'll probably, if there's going to be a winner, it'll probably be them. But I can't trust them at those odds. I'm going to play safe here and go for the draw at 12-5.
12-5, the draw for Derek. Tom?
I think there's going to be goals in this game. I can't see either defence sort of being on top in this one. And I think that's probably the best way to approach this one, because, you know, Bournemouth themselves, their recent form in terms of getting a victory, well, they haven't had one since Swansea, and that was the final game of 2016. But goals are never an issue for them. You know, and even at home, they've had some sort of, you know, big victories, you know, most notably, of course, that game against Liverpool. They were close to getting the victory against Arsenal, a big victory against Hull as well. But they've actually had some disappointing games at home. Now, their home form isn't strong. Sunderland have gone there and beaten them. Southampton won at a canter. And they'd actually, you know, they drew with Watford in their last home match, which is an absolute stunner, really. But Palace, there's just no sign of improvement from them. And you know, that kind of new manager bounce that Paul Clement's getting at Swansea, you can see straight away he's changed things. You can see straight away that Marco Silva has changed things at Hull. You know, Hull are not playing badly. But what has Sam Allardyce done apart from spend £14 million on Patrick Van Aanholt, who is a decent player? He's certainly an attacking threat, but he's relying on a fullback now to probably provide some goals. So I don't know. I think Palace are in trouble, and I don't think it's hit home at that club yet just how much trouble they're in. And I tell you what, if Swansea get a result this midweek and Palace don't, they're going to look in. It's going to look a very, very serious situation for them. But Bournemouth are a tricky team to catch, right? But I think goals has got to be the order of the day here. You know, especially when you look at their home form and their home matches. The last three, they might not have won either of those three games, but they scored six goals against Southampton, Arsenal and Watford. So I can't see Palace tightening up and keeping a clean sheet. So I'd play goals here, and I'm going to side with Bournemouth here. The Bournemouth winning over 2.5 goals is 21-10. I don't want to be backing Bournemouth at 11-10. But if you're not sure about an outright winner, you know, it's 10-11 for over 2.5 goals and 12-5 for over 3.5. And I wouldn't put you past either of those. These are two sides where attack is definitely their strength and defending is not.
Sunderland versus Spurs next up. Sunderland 8-1 to win the game. The draw 4-1. Tottenham 4-11. Enhanced odds: Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 12-1. Now 16-1. And Dele Alli to score and Spurs to win was 11-10. That's been enhanced to 5-4. What a match that was against Wickham at the weekend in the FA Cup. Spurs were 2-1 to win that match at about the hour mark. Pulled it back to 2 apiece. Wickham scored again. And Dele Alli scored. And Heung-Min Son spared Spurs' blushes in the end, Tom. Good shout by you, actually, on the Heung-Min Son to score two or more in the game. Never in doubt that, Tom.
Never, ever in doubt. You know, but you know, you were looking ahead of those games. You're looking at the Tottenham and you're thinking, you do this with a lot of the top six sides because we know their squad's inside out. You think if they do make 6, 7, 8 changes, however many there are, you know, you can look at players that are going to come up from the bench and, you know, do the business, players that will want to take the chance. And you know, and I like him. But, you know, I think what that game proved, although Tottenham got through by the skin of their teeth, I think it just proved that it doesn't matter who you are in a Premier League. You know, no team can make vast amount of changes and expect to have an easy ride. I don't care who you're playing against, especially if you're playing against a team in form, even though they are, you know, God knows how many league places between the two sides. And, you know, it'll be a little bit of a wake-up for Tottenham. You know, they won't have been dancing, you know, home, going home from White Hart Lane after that game. You know, they've seen a thriller, but, you know, they know they were lucky. But generally, look, it doesn't take anything away from Tottenham. The point is they know how to win matches and they're on a great run and they're in good form. So Tottenham are a team that you don't want to be backing against at the moment, but it's how this game goes. They're up against the Sunderland side, who for me now, rock bottom of the Premier League. They're dead and buried. You know, their transfer dealings are hardly inspiring. People might look to the fact that keeping Jermaine Defoe has been a positive, but it's not really going to change a huge amount. They're 7 games without a victory. They cannot beat good sides at home. They can barely beat anybody at home, even with Watford, who are our bully boys at the moment. They only beat them by a goal to nil. But when they come up against better sides, they lose. And I think that's obviously going to be the case here. The only thing I would maybe look at is the fact that Tottenham away from home, you think Tottenham are a tight defensive side. They've only kept 2 clean sheets in 11 away matches. Now, admittedly, they are playing against a team bottom of the table. But Sunderland, more often than not, find the back of the net at home. In fact, it's very rare. Only Chelsea and actually Burnley and Everton way back at the beginning of the season have actually kept them out on home soil. So there is an argument here. This is not a bet I've normally put up for Tottenham. But for Tottenham to win and both teams to score at 11-5. But what I do like is Dele Alli. You know, you've got to be backing players that are in red-hot form. And I think the fact that he's even money any time is just cracking value. And, of course, he's part of the enhanced odds as well for him to score and Tottenham to win at 5-4. I think he's pretty decent. 5 goals in his last 3 away matches. But Spurs and both teams to score, I think, is where I'd head for the value.
Both Harry Kane and Dele Alli, by the way, have scored more Premier League goals in 2017 than Sunderland. Only scored 3 times this calendar year, Sunderland in the Premier League. Derek, convincing Spurs win or not?
Well, I tell you what, it's a measure of how far Tottenham have come over the last, what, 2 years, say. That, you know, you look at them at 4-11 away from home and you think, yeah, I'll have some of that. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, you'd never have done that. They were just, they were too flaky, to be risked at those kind of odds, even at home at those kind of odds. Nowadays, they get the job done invariably. Now, there's a couple of things I always tell punters. Never be swayed by one match. You've got to look at form over like a minimum of six games. Never be swayed by one match. And who's the guy that never listens? Me. Because I remember watching Sunderland against Liverpool a few weeks ago, and I was amazed by Sunderland, absolutely amazed by them. It was a 2-2 draw, and I thought, this is a better team than I thought. I'm going to be back in a minute. Well, since then, they've already done a light. They've skinned me, and I've made a mistake. And it was similar when Leicester played against Man City and beat Man City. I thought, yeah, this is Leicester. I'll be back in them every week now. They've already picked up a point since then. So, more fool me. Am I going to oppose Sunderland here? I just can't see them doing anything against Tottenham. They just haven't got a strong enough squad, to be honest. And, you know, they're at the bottom of the league because they deserve to be. That's basically where they are, the 20th best team in the Premier League. Tottenham will win this 4-11 away from home, one for the big hitters again. But still 5-6 minus a goal. That looks a very fair price to me.
Maybe that said more about Liverpool and Man City, those two games that you referenced there, Derek.
Yeah, it probably did. It probably did.
Sunderland 8-1, the draw 4-1. Tottenham are 4-11. Stoke versus Everton. Next, this is Wednesday, 8 p.m. Stoke are 19-10 to win the game. The draw 11-5 with Everton 13-8. The enhanced odds: Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win was 4-1. Now 5-1, and Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 14-5. Now 7-2. Both these teams, Derek, in reasonable form at the moment. Stoke have picked up 7 points from a possible 9. Drew with Manchester United at home in their most recent encounter. While Everton have responded really strongly from that 1-0 battering in the Merseyside derby. And it was a battering, Derek. We talked about that game eventually finishing 1-0. But they've not been beaten since then. They've picked up 13 points from 15 subsequently. And they've won their last three games without conceding as well.
Yeah, including that 4-0 win over Man City. Tremendous performance by them. Yeah, definitely on the up. Stoke also on the up. And probably the battle for 8th spot, this gives it, or maybe 7th spot for that. Difficult one to choose there. 7-13-8 is short, isn't it? You know, that is a short price to go to Stoke and win Everton. Impressive though they've been in recent matches. Stoke are not, Stoke are no chumps. Stoke 19-10 to beat Everton. Not sure that's a great bet. It's difficult to say which is the worst bet, actually. Whatever it is, I'll probably put some money on it. It looks like a draw. You know what? It looks like a draw to me. And a draw would be a result that I don't think either side would be too disappointed with.
Yeah, I kind of agree. 11-5, the draw in the game. Tom?
Well, I was a little bit surprised when I looked at this that Everton were favourites. I mean, you know, I know they're higher up in the league table and, you know, their form has certainly improved and that they look a little bit more of a unit. But, you know, I kind of look at Stoke at home and still think they are a tough nut to crack. They've not lost at home since the defeat to Bournemouth back in November. So you're looking at 6 games in the Premier League without a defeat. And I know Everton have had some away results, but they beat Palace, Leicester, and have drawn with Hull. So I'm still not sure about Everton on the road in terms of backing up for victories. But of course, that victory over Man City, back-to-back wins, which they needed badly, and 3 wins in 4, it looks impressive, doesn't it? And 3 straight wins in the Premier League. But I'm looking at Stoke, and I just still think that home form is strong enough that they're not going to get beat by many teams. Manchester United only got the draw. They've drawn with Southampton, they've drawn with Leicester. You know, they've had 3 draws in the last 4 home matches, so it's pointing me in exactly the same direction as Derek here. I can't necessarily see a lot of goals in this one. I think it'll be a bit of an arm wrestle. And again, it's probably a point that would probably suit both sides. It keeps sort of... Everton would probably look at Stoke as direct rivals, really, you know, in terms of money that they've spent. You know, maybe not exactly on the same level, but do you know what I mean? They're kind of in a similar kind of place in the league. They've both got decent squads, and I think Everton would probably think that point's a good result, and I think that's probably what they'll get. I think of the 3 outcomes, the draw is the one that I'm drawn to the most.
The draw in the game, 11-5, and we finish at Old Trafford with Manchester United versus Hull. At Manchester United 1-5 to win the game, the draw 6-1, Hull are 16-1. Henrik Mkhitaryan to score and Man U to win was 11-10, now 5-4. And Abel Hernandez to score and Hull to win was 28-1. That's been enhanced to 33-1. 6th versus 19th in the league. And these two will be sick of the sight of each other now, having met twice already in the last 20 days. Hull lost this fixture 2-0 in the League Cup. And unless you believe in Jose Mourinho's alternative facts, they won the second leg 2-1 at the KCOM. At the weekend, Man U won 4-0 against Wigan in the FA Cup fourth round, while Fulham beat Hull by 4-1. 1-5, Tom. You're not going to get rich back in Manchester United this midweek.
No, you're not. And you know what? Manchester United have to, you know, have to start gaining some ground on the teams above them. You know, I kind of look at the league table maybe, you know, every week. I kind of have a glance at it. You know, it's there all the time. But when I look a little bit closer at it, I was stunned where Manchester United are. You know, sometimes I just think Manchester United are a lot closer at the top four than they actually are. They're 4 points behind Liverpool. You know, we've talked about Liverpool and Man City, you know, being on poor runs. Liverpool have been on an awful run. It just goes to show how far Manchester United were back. Because Manchester United have been on, you know, the so-called very, very good run. And it is, you know, because they've not suffered, you know, defeat in the league since, what, that 4-0 defeat at Chelsea back in October. But they've drawn a lot of matches and they don't seem to have gained much ground. They're obviously a long way behind Chelsea, but they are in the mix for the top four. And Hull, everyone keeps telling me this about Hull, and I know a few people who watch them, you know, pretty close and have watched a lot of their games recently. Everyone keeps telling me they're playing well. Everyone keeps saying that Marco Silva's done a good job. He's changed things a little bit for the better. And Hull are a team that generally are spirited and, you know, they're making life difficult for teams. The results just don't show it. And the problem I've got is, you know, when you're looking at putting up bets and backing teams, I want more victories. I want better results. I want more goals, you know, for my money to be riding on them. I know they've beaten Bournemouth and I know they beat Manchester United in the cup. But generally, they're still losing matches and they're not a team you want to be backing. Manchester United have got to win this game. It's as simple as that. And the kind of form that they've been in and the expectation now is creeping a little bit. I couldn't believe some of the things I was hearing on Sunday about Manchester United, you know, being back to the Fergie era best and, you know, the swagger about Manchester United. I mean, they beat Wigan. You know, it wasn't, you know, they haven't yet, for me, gone toe-to-toe with a real good side and proved their worth yet. They may well do between now and the end of the season, but I still don't think Manchester United are a team that I think I even want to be backing for an exotic scoreline in this game because, you know, Hull are spirited, but how much has their spirit taken a battering, especially with the players that have left? So when I'm looking at this, I'm more drawn towards the goal scorer markets here. And I fancy Manchester United to probably score maybe 2-3 goals. And I think Mkhitaryan is not a bad bet here. He's 21-20 any time. He's 5-1-2 or more. He looks a real player now for Manchester United. He's probably the standout attacker for them at the moment. He's got it going. So I'm more interested in that. So I'll probably play the enhanced odds of a Mkhitaryan goal and a Manchester United win at 5-4. It's still short. But I'm not 100% sure on how this game is going to go and what score I'm looking at.
You could look for a penalty in this match as well. Mm. Hull City have conceded 10 penalties in the Premier League already this season. The record is 11 in a full campaign. That was Blackburn Rovers back in 2006-2007. So Hull have a habit of felling. We've seen penalties at Old Trafford in the past, haven't we, as well, Derek?
Yes,
plenty of them.
Yes, yeah. City winners are saying each web. I feel sorry for Hull fans because after a great World, not great maybe because he went out EFL Cup.
EFL Cup,
one.
Yeah.
He went out of that, but you know they beat Man United 1-1, so it should have been a good week for them. And then they did lose goal by that thrashing at Fulham in the FA Cup, you know, not playing a strong side. And I just think it sent out so many wrong signals. And I worry about them here because I was impressed by them for those two games against Man United. You know, and they could have easily got you know, a bit more luck. They might have even got to the final. So they're not the mugs that, you know, a lot of people make them out to be. That said, you can't possibly see them getting anything out of this game. Man United are still not a team I want to back at 1-5. I was talking them up a few weeks ago, but results haven't been particularly brilliant or performances since then. What I do like is every time I watch them, okay, now Pogba took him a lot of stick for his performance against Liverpool a few weeks ago, and rightly so, it wasn't great. But when he plays, every time I watch him, he either scores or, you know, it looks dangerous. And he's 6-4 to score at any time against probably, you know, one of the three worst teams in the league. I'm on that. Pogba to score at any time.
Very good. Manchester United 1-5 to win the match. Draw 6-1. Hull 16-1. Naps then, chaps. Best bets this midweek. Derek, let's start with you.
Yes, Chelsea 2-1.
Chelsea 2-1 to win at Liverpool. Mr. Kerwin?
I've got to go against Watford. Arsenal -2 at 8-5.
Arsenal -2 at 8-5 on the handicap in that game against Watford. I thought one of you were bound to pick Burnley, so I'm tempted by Burnley, I must admit, to beat Leicester. But I'm going to go for a bet that I mentioned earlier in the Middlesbrough-West Brom game. I'm going to go with Chris Brunt to score any time because I think the price is too big. So 11-2 Brunt to score any time. Just under 50-1 that treble. Chelsea at 2-1. Arsenal minus 2.8-5. And Brunt any time. Middlesbrough versus West Brom at 11-2. Just under 50-1. Happy with that, chaps?
Beautiful.
Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Kerwin.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the Punt podcast. Do check out all the Premier League betting for this midweek by going to williamhill.com or checking out the William Hill app. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. And you can also locate it at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. Myself, Derek and Tom will be back for the Punt podcast on Friday ahead of the Premier League weekend.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag #YourOdds to @WilliamHill and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag #YourOdds from William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.